Hello, everybody. This is Paul Douglas Boyer, Madman Machine. The longest word when I was growing up was Numino Ultramicroscopic Silico Volcano Coniosis. Madman Machine. Show 150. For Friday, the 13th of March, 2009. Hello, everybody. This is Paul Douglas Boyer of Madman Machine, show 150. This will not be a retrospective. I'll get into that some shows later. This show I'm going to do really quickly. I want to talk about two main things: Jim Cramer versus Jon Stewart, and the first step of rehab. Madman Machine is proud to be brought to you by Index Funds Advisors at IFA.com.
I had no choice. I heard the voices. I heard the voices. I had no choice. They came and forced us. The X-ray dogs were here to stay at last. We try, I swear to you, to see the blazing light beneath the fog.
I mentioned that I got 100 free trades because I moved my 401k to a discount brokerage firm into an IRA. And so, what do I do with 100 free trades, right? I'm the passive investor. Well, yeah, I thought I would take a few spins at the roulette wheel, and so far it hasn't really paid off. There was one day where I made $800. Then a subsequent day I lost $1,000. And then I made another $400 and another $200. I really haven't kept very good accounting of whether I'm above water or not. And that's kind of the point, is when you're an active investor, it's a whole lot of work to keep track of how you're doing. And it's important to keep track of not only whether you're above zero or not, but whether you're above where just as plain old investment in index funds would be, right? You've got to beat a benchmark, not just make money. And so maybe I'll try to do that with the rest of my... I'm not even sure how many trades I have left out of my 100. I guess there's probably a way to get on the website and find that out, or go in and count up the trades I've done so far. But what a pain. But we'll get more into active investing later in the show. First, I want to talk about what's on everybody's mind this week. It's been the guru smackdown between Jim Cramer and Jon Stewart. First, Jon Stewart came out earlier in the week deriding, I guess the whole idea, the whole genesis of it, he was going to have Rick Santelli on his show after Rick Santelli had this populist rant about how we shouldn't bail out the mortgage defaulters. And so Jon Stewart, I guess Rick Santelli bailed out on appearing on the Daily Show. And so Jon Stewart took the opportunity to really rip into CNBC by showing some clips of errant calls that they had made over the past couple of years. And then Cramer responded to that, and then Stewart responded to Cramer, and back and forth until Stewart finally invited Jim Cramer onto his show. And that was last night, Thursday night, on The Daily Show. And if you haven't seen it, there are links to it all over the internet. That's the first point I want to make, is I really don't need cable TV, do I? In fact, the experience of watching it on the internet was better than watching it on TV for two reasons. One, there weren't as many commercials to have to sit through. And even if you have a DVR, you know, it's actually a little bit quicker to watch it on the internet. Although I did sit through one pre-roll commercial for 30 seconds. I think I can tolerate that, from The Daily Show's website. But the second reason is, it was the extended version of the interview. So if you watched it on TV, you didn't see the whole thing. They had it in three parts. It was probably about, what, 885, 21 minutes long in total. And I was thinking when I first saw it, wow, this is, he must have taken the whole show to talk to Jim Cramer. But late, come to find out, parts of that were cut out and played on the TV show. The whole thing is available on the internet. So I did watch it. And I think Jim Cramer wasn't really quite prepared for this. You know, the presidential debates, I'm sure the presidential candidates get in there and they debate again. They do practice debates against tough opponents, tough debating opponents, answering the very tough questions. Although this last year's debate didn't count. They weren't answering tough questions. But Jim Cramer, I don't think he was prepared for that kind of toughness. I think he was going into this thinking that Jon Stewart, it was just going to be all fun and jokes and, hey, let's yuck it up a little bit. We hit you, you hit us, blah, blah, blah. Jim, first thing he said was, I love your show. It's a great show. And Stewart said, yeah, whatever. So let's go on. But there are a couple of points I want to make before I get to the one main point that I want to take away from the whole thing. Jon Stewart said, we're all snake oil salesmen. And Cramer said, I don't disagree. Stewart plays some clips where Cramer was talking with Aaron Task at thestreet.com, admitting some of the shenanigans that were going on when he was working at hedge fund and how he would try to talk down stocks so that he makes money on shorting them. And the idea is that there's a whole lot of manipulation going on in the market. And isn't the financial news guilty? This is Stewart speaking. Isn't financial news guilty of the sin of commission, where they're in cahoots with the financial industry to take away all our money, basically? And because you knew what the banks were doing. And he blames CNBC. But here's the point I want to get to. In the third clip that you'll watch out there with the links, I'll have it in the show notes. I also have a posting prior to the show notes that has the direct links to the Comedy Central website. First of all, Stewart asked Cramer, in what world is 30-to-1 leverage sane? Jon Stewart's really up in arms, angry about this over-leveraging that all fell apart. You know, the bankers, they make their millions. It all crumbles down around them. We're the ones that end up paying. Well, Cramer responds that that world, the world with 30-to-1 leverage, made you 30% year after year from 99 through 07. And I have to pause it for this moment and say, no, that's not true. You didn't make 30% every year from 99 through 07. Even you, Jim Cramer, who touts your own hedge fund record, doesn't claim to make 30%. That's pure hyperbole. So upon that point, this is the biggest point of it all. And Jon Stewart comes back and says, isn't that part of the problem? Selling ideas that you don't have to do anything. Anytime you sell the idea that you can sit back and get 10 to 20% of your money, don't you always know it's a lie? When are we going to realize that our wealth is work? How is the idea that I'll teach you how to be rich different from an infomercial? All right, so Jon Stewart makes some points in here. He says, this idea of telling somebody that they can just sit back, do nothing, and get 10 to 20% is like a big lie. It's like an infomercial. To which Cramer responds, well, the goal should be to expose that there is no easy money. So there's a couple of problems I have with Jon Stewart's notion, actually, here. He says it's always a lie to say that you can sit back and get 10 to 20% of your money. I don't agree with that, even though, yes, it's been tough if you were invested through the last 1 year. But over the last 81 years, as we know, through any 10-year period, stocks have made money. And So what's the alternative, John Stewart? You say that you don't have to do anything. The idea that you don't have to do anything is always, it's a big lie. But what's the opposite of that? You would say that you have to do something. You have to do something to get the 10 to 20% of your money. And that's where we come to a problem. You get into this notion of active investing, and as we'll see in a moment, in the new rehab section, active investing loses to passive investing over the long term. Now, that's not to say that I agree with the way Jim Cramer does things on TV either. The whole idea that he has 5 hours a week. He's got 5 hours that he needs to fill with something every week. And I've got 30 minutes a week to try to fill with something, and I struggle. I can't even imagine trying to fill 5 hours of TV programming a week with something that's meaningful. And maybe that's part of the problem. Maybe instead of synchronous television of Mad Money having to come on at 6 o'clock Eastern 5 nights a week, maybe when everyone scraps their cable TV and we go to a pure podcasting model and Mad Money is only available through iTunes, he'll have the flexibility not only of adjusting the length of the show, it doesn't have to be 44 minutes, 5 nights a week. You know, I'm excluding the commercials. And it doesn't have to actually come out at 5 o'clock every day, 6 o'clock every day. He can put it out when he has some information, which is the way I think the internet is getting to anyway with blogs and things. You're getting information when it's available, and when it's not available, you don't get any information, which is just fine. Leave it alone. Let's go off and do something else. So Stewart brought up the fact that his 75-year-old mother had bought into the notion of investing for the long term, but she has lost money, as have everyone who's been involved in equities over the past 1 year. And that is the price, unfortunately, that we pay for investing. Of course, stocks aren't guaranteed to make money. If they were, you know what the return on stocks would be? Zero compared to like a T-bill. The idea is that stocks are supposed to be risky because it is risk that is the source of returns. You take your chances and you get your payout. In the long term, if you have faith in capitalism in the long term, then you should be able to invest in capitalism and reap its rewards. What are you doing when you're buying stocks? You're owning a piece of the business. And maybe that's what we're losing sight of here, is that you're supposed to be owning a piece of the business. When a company first sells shares to someone, it is saying, we want to divvy up ownership of the company and sell it to you. The first person that buys those shares is buying a piece of the company. The second person that buys those shares is speculating a lot of times that the first guy doesn't know what he's doing by selling. But that's a subject for a whole nother day. I'm going to be watching Mad Money tonight to see if Jim Cramer responds yet again to Jon Stewart, and the battle continues. It can only help ratings, so why not have a battle? I want to start a new segment now. And I'm not exactly firmed up on the title, but it's going to be something along the lines of active investing rehab. You know, there's rehabilitation centers for those that are alcoholic and those involved in addictive drugs. Well, gambling is an addiction also. And there's 12 steps for gamblers. The anonymous 12-step Gamblers Anonymous is the word I'm looking for. There should be Active Investors Anonymous. And that's what we'll talk about in the Active Investor Rehab section, brought to you by Index Funds Advisors, who provide the source material, basically, for this section. And so When you go to rehab for active being an active investor, the first step is figuring out, well, what does that mean, being an active investor? Are you just talking about day traders? Of course we know day traders are evil. I'm joking a little bit there. But what is an active investor? Is it just day traders? No, not really. Anyone who tries to pick a mutual fund that's managed by an active manager, well, that's active investing as well. So it's not just you that's the active investor. You're trying to pick somebody else on your behalf to be an active investor. Or, of course, trying to pick stocks. Anyone who follows Jim Cramer on Mad Money and actually does try to time the market and do things that he's recommending day to day, that's active investing as well. If you think there are certain cycles to the market, if there's a good time to be in the market or a good time to be out of the market, that's active investing as well. Trying to pick a manager, whether it's a stock picker or a mutual fund manager that has a track record, that's active investing. Or maybe you think that energy sector is the place to be right now. Or maybe precious metals is the place to be now at the expense of being in the financials, say. That's active investing. And you may not even realize that you're an active investor if in your 401k plan, you've gone along and looked at the past returns on some fund and said, yeah, this one did well in the past 36 months. I'm going to pick that one. That's not the way to invest. And this rehab section that I'll be going through in this next coming weeks and months, we'll go through all the steps of rehab to figure out how can we overcome our addiction to active investing. And I'm not saying that I'm not guilty of it either, now that I've got my 100 free trades, right? And also the fact that I timed the market early in 2008 and put everything into cash. Because I thought I couldn't take the risk. And, so there's this fine line that I'm taking between talking about my risk capacity and my decision to time the market to get out of stocks and into cash. So, yes, I'm guilty of it. My name is Paul, and I'm an active investor. So just like other 12-step programs, we'll define what it means to be the addict. We'll look to a higher power to help us overcome the addiction. We'll learn what it means to be addicted. We'll learn the signs, and we will learn how, once we've overcome our addiction, to stay away from the addiction. That's Active Investors Rehab, brought to you by Index Funds Advisors at IFA.com. Let them help you manage your financial freedom. So now I want to pull something fun out of the tool crib. A friend of mine called yesterday and said, you remember that song that Neil Young sang? Oh, it's been years ago and it had so much energy. And I said, you're talking about Rockin' in the Free World, right? Yeah. I remember he performed that on Saturday Night Live, and it was the most rockingest thing I have ever seen anybody. He was completely out of his mind playing that song. It was crazy. Well, I don't have it in my iTunes. And I've got it on CD somewhere in the basement, and I just don't have the time to dredge it up. What's the quickest way I can play it? I can go to GrooveShark.com and type in the title. And they say that they've got just about every song in the world available for instant play right there. You can just go to GrooveShark.com, type in the title. Up comes a list of matches. You find the one in there that says Neil Young. There were several of them. You hit play. And you listen to it right away. And so I was able to bring it up while my friend was still on the phone and play and remind him what Rockin' in the Free World sounds like. Well, that's our tool in the crib this week, Groove Shark. And like other tools I've given you so far, it's free.
That's what I want.
Well, I said at the beginning it was going to be a shorter show, and untrue to my word, that's it. This is Paul Douglas Boyer saying it takes knowledge to make money, and it takes the Mad Money Machine to get you that knowledge. I'll see you next week. In the meantime, visit IFA.com and take the risk capacity survey. Figure out what you should be investing in. I'll see you next Friday.